الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome once again dear viewers of Madani Channel to another episode of Articles of Faith. In this series, we go through the Articles of Faith and delving into the Islamic beliefs and the Islamic aqaid related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the prophets, alayhimu salatu wasalam, angels, the jinns, the heavenly books, as well as this, the Day of Judgment, the signs of the Day of Judgment. Today's topic, inshallah, we're going to be discussing about destiny, about fate. But before we go into the topic, let's listen to a blessing of Durood-e-Pak or recitation of Salat and Salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's stated in Musnad Abi Ya'la that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Recite Salat upon me in abundance. Undoubtedly, your recital of Salat upon me is a means of purification for you." Subhanallah. So we should recite as much Salat and Salam upon our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so then we can inshallah be purified from sins, purified from indecencies from within ourselves, purified from all types of evil. And one of them ways is that we can recite Salat and Salam upon our Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So let's all recite together, Sallu Alal Habib Sallallahu Ta'ala Ala Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Dear viewers of Madani Channel, fate or destiny, which in Arabic is known as Qadr, this is something which is from the ajaibah, from the things which are the hidden things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And evidence of this, that everything is predetermined, that there is predestination, this evidence of this is found in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qamar, ayah number 49.
إِنَّا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَاهُ بِقَدَرٍ
Translation from Kanzul Iman, we have indeed created everything with a proper measure. So on this verse, the scholars of Islam have said that this verse proves that there is qadr, that there is destiny, predestination. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if the viewers of Madani Channel remember, if we go back to episode number 1 where we discussed the hadith Jibra'il, which is in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ was once with his companions and a person came and that person didn't see no evidence of travel on him. There was no one knowing this person and he was wearing very white clothes and had black hair, jet black hair. And this person came and he sat in front of the Prophet ﷺ and he put his knee against the knee of the Prophet ﷺ and then he put his hands on the lap. And then he asked several questions to the Prophet ﷺ. One of them questions was regarding, tell me about Iman, tell me about faith. So upon this, the Prophet ﷺ replied that faith is believing in Allah Almighty, His angels, the heavenly books, the prophets, the Day of Judgment, and fate, whether good or bad, it's from Allah. So this hadith, and that person that actually came was Sayyidina Jibra'il alayhi salatu wasalam. This hadith, which is known as famously as Hadith Jibra'il, explains to us and is a proof that destiny or fate, this is true. It's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The good and the bad are both from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from amongst the articles of faith, which we also learned in episode number 1 about the Iman Mufassal, that I believe in Allah, amantu billahi wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wal yawmil akhiri wal qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi min Allah. So qadr, khayr, which is good qadr, wa shar, evil qadr, min Allah ta'ala, they both come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a belief of a Muslim that predestination, that destiny, fate, this is something that we have to believe in. And if someone rejects this, then that person actually leaves the folds of Islam. And a hadith in Abu Dawood from one of the books of Siha Sitta, the Prophet ﷺ, he actually declared, those that deny destiny, those that deny fate, as the fire worshippers of this ummah. As per the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah the All Great, the Most Mighty, has predetermined all things, whether they are good things or bad, they have all been predetermined. But a element of this, what we need to remember, is that we don't go towards the extremes in this belief. So what is meant by the extremes in these beliefs? So we don't believe that we are completely forced to do everything. Nor do we believe that we have complete free will and we can do anything that we want and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no intervention or no control over that. So that is the two extremes. And there were two groups which actually came, the Qadariya and the Jabariya. Both of them were the misguided groups from the Ummah. And one of them believed, the Jabariya believed, that we are all forced to do everything. Everything is forced upon us to do. And the Qadariya, they believed that we had complete free will. The Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the majority of the Muslim orthodoxy, believes that we take the middle path and we say that we are neither forced nor do we have complete free will as well. So what exactly do we believe about fate, about destiny? So we believe that anyone that does any action, this has already been written in the divine books of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tablet, the Lawh Mahfuz. And with the divine knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from before knew what this person was going to do, what actions he was going to do and what he did. An example to understand this further, and this is example without similarity, is that, for example, if there was a brother and he was walking alongside his younger brother and there was a car. Now that younger brother said that, you know, I'm going to pick up this car. So now the older brother, he says to him that you're not going to be able to pick up that car. So the younger brother, he went up to the car, he's tried lifting it up, he put all of his effort in, he couldn't lift it up. So now it doesn't mean that because the older brother said you can't lift it up, that's not the reason why he couldn't lift up that car. But because the older brother knew from before that the younger brother will not be able to lift up that car, and he said that, so that is, you can say, an example to show that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he has predetermined something for us, it's not something that he's written, so that's why we have to do it. But rather, it's that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what actions we were going to do, what choices we were going to make. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what choice me and you would make. And he wrote that down from before. And when that time came to make them choices, we then made whatever choices we made. But remember this, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, this predestination, destiny, it is from one amongst the things which are the hidden things of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we don't know exactly, nor can we 100% explain and make people understand about the reality of destiny. In fact, discussing destiny or talking about destiny or debating over this, it's not allowed to do so. The hadith of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif, states that Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, and the companion of the Prophet ﷺ, he told us that the Prophet ﷺ came up to us whilst we were having a debate regarding fate. So they were debating about destiny, about Qadr. And the Prophet ﷺ got upset upon hearing about this debate, is about Qadr and about fate. Even his blessed face turned red as if pomegranates were squeezed on the blessed cheeks. SubhanAllah, what way to express the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ, even when he was in the state of anger, that the Prophet ﷺ's beauty was so much that it felt as if like the pomegranates were squeezed on the face of the Prophet ﷺ. And this was the love of the Sahaba. So then he says that, have you been given permission to do this, or have I been sent to you with this? So the Prophet ﷺ questioned the companions that were there, that were debating about fate, that have you been given permission to do this, or have I been sent to you with this? And then he further on states, when the people before you disputed this matter, they were killed. I make it mandatory for you not to dispute this matter. So the Prophet ﷺ made it mandatory upon us that we do not dispute or dwell into or debate upon the matter of destiny. The issue of destiny, qadar, taqdeer, this can't be understood by ordinary minds. And going into it, pondering over it, is a way that a person will be led towards destruction. In fact, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and who is the first Khalifa of Islam, and the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an, both of them were actually discouraged to discuss this issue as well. So now think about this, the caliber of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, and the second Khalifa of Islam, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, their caliber is so much more higher than anyone, but even they were told and forbade not to dispute or discuss the issue of fate. So all we need to know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to make a choice between right and wrong, to choose what is right and wrong. And whatever we choose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from before with His knowledge, His divine knowledge, Allah is Alim, He is all-knowing. So with His knowledge, He already knew what choices we will make. To commit any sinful act and then attribute it that this was just my destiny, this was how it was meant to be. So to do this is actually extremely wrongful. The law in regards to this, the ruling should be that anyone that performs a good deed, so something that we do which is a righteous deed, a good deed, something which you will be rewarded for, then we should attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the tawfiq, that gave me the ability to perform this good action, to perform this good deed. And anything that we do which is wrong, sinful, so then this should be not attributed towards Allah, but rather attributed to our own self. Yes, in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that predestined good and bad. But not to attribute any evil to bad, as this is disrespect, we should attribute this evilness to our own doings, our own inner self, our own nafs. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, he reports, Suraika bin Malik bin Jushin came and said that Allah's Rasul explained our religion to us as if we have been created just now. Whatever deeds we do today, is it because of the fact that they have been predetermined and written, or is it that our doings that determines them? So a question was asked in the court of the Prophet ﷺ from a companion, that the deeds that we do, are they something which is predetermined, or is it something that when we do them, that determines what we are going to be doing? Upon this, the Prophet ﷺ replied that everything has been predetermined and written. So everything that is done is predetermined and is written from before, written in the Lawhi Mahfuz, in the books of the angels, on the divine tablet. And then a question was raised that, if it's so, then what is the use of doing good deeds? So this could be a question that many of the viewers of Madrin Channel might be having as well, that if I am doing a good deed or if I'm doing a bad deed, so if everything's predetermined, what's the point of me doing these good deeds? So in reply to the question, the Prophet ﷺ, he states that act for everyone is facilitated for what he intends to do. He who does good will be facilitated towards the good as well. So this hadith in Sahih Muslim and Jami' Tirmidhi, he explains to us that how whatever deeds we do, they are, you can say, an indication towards what our hereafter will be like as well. If our deeds in this world are of righteous deeds, then inshallah this will bring us good outcomes in the hereafter. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, as we just learnt about fate and about destiny, it's important that we try to bring ourselves content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predetermined for us, and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any flaws, without any second thoughts. We should keep our mind completely free of this and trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wholeheartedly. It's mentioned by Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi in Tafsir al-Kabir, his commentary of the Quran. He states that tawakkul does not mean that a person gives up on himself and his efforts after considering them useless and rubbish, as some ignorant people say, but rather tawakkul means that a person uses apparent resources, but he does not trust them in the heart, but rather trust in Allah's help, aid and His support. So from this we can understand the definition of tawakkul. Tawakkul, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, in Arabic is known as trust. So tawakkul ala Allah, to trust upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this should be from amongst the traits of a believer, that he should have complete trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's doing, in His plan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's actions, he should have complete trust in them. And from this definition we can understand that it doesn't mean that we bring ourselves down and say that everything that I'm doing is just rubbish. No, we should have a positive mind, and rather we should say that the resources that we use, we don't trust them, but rather the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given and the help that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, we're going to trust that. Furthermore, a hadith in Sunan Tirmidhi states that a person humbly asked that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I trust in Allah after tethering my camel or leaving it untethered? Meaning, should I trust in Allah with tying my camel up or with it untied? So upon this, it will reply, you tie it first, then you trust in Allah. So this is the meaning of trust. It doesn't mean that you completely let go of everything and you say, I'm just going to put everything in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to put the measures in first. Meaning, for example, if you're going to lock up the house and you say, there's no need to lock up the house, I just have my trust in Allah. This is incorrect. You first are ordered to put in the procedures that are the worldly procedures, and then have the trust in Allah that inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep my house safeguarded. So lock up the door first and then trust in Allah. Same goes with the camel, or in nowadays example, you can say the car. First lock the car door and then have the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He will keep it safe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran in Surah Talaq, verse number 3, translation from Kanzul Iman, and whoever relies on Allah, so Allah is sufficient for him. In another verse of the Holy Quran, Allah states in Surah Ali Imran, verse number 159. Translation, indeed Allah loves those who trust in Him. So we need to be from amongst those who are the loved of Allah, the beloved of Allah, that we trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we bring ourselves in conformity with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has willed for us, whatever He has planned for us. In Ihya ul-Ulum, Imam Muhammad Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi, he states regarding these verses that how great is the status that a person who has the privilege of divine love and he gets assurance of sufficiency from Allah. So that a person has really achieved a great success, on whom Allah bestows sufficiency, loves him and favors him. Because the one who is beloved neither suffers torment, nor is far, and nor is he hidden. Subhanallah. So the one who has the trust in Allah, the one who suffices in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's plan and His measures that He has set for us, then inshallah we can show that this person is definitely from amongst the loved ones, from amongst those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. And if Allah loves someone, then He favors him, He bestows him with blessings, neither does He make him suffer torments, and neither is he far or hidden from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The noble Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states that if you trust in Allah as He ought to be trusted, if you trust in Allah as He ought to be trusted, He will bestow sustenance upon you as He bestowed upon a bird, because it goes out with an empty stomach in the morning and returns with a full stomach in the evening. This is the plan of Allah, that even a bird trusts Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that it does not keep food overnight. It goes in the morning, it searches for its food, and it comes into the evening back to its nest full of food in its stomach. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses everyone with sustenance. Everyone has their share of sustenance in this world. And this hadith was in Sunan Tirmidhi. Another hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states that Allah bestows four things upon His beloved people. Number one, silence, and it's the beginning of worship. Number two, trust in Allah. Number three, humbleness, And number four, an interest in the world. SubhanAllah. So these four things, if any of these four things, or all of these four things are in a mu'min, in a believer, these qualities are in a believer, then inshallah, we can know that that person is beloved of Allah, he is Habibullah. In Minhajul Abideen, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, he states a hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which it stated that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the person who likes to become the strongest amongst the people. We all want to be the strongest from everyone. We want everyone to know that we're the strongest, we're the biggest. So listen to the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that the person who likes to become the strongest amongst the people should place absolute trust in Allah. And the one who likes to become respectable should become pious. And the one who likes to become the wealthiest amongst the people should trust that Allah has more than what he has. SubhanAllah. So my dear viewers on the Muslim channel, we need to trust Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be content with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. Whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has distributed to the creation. And whatever share you have from that, be content with that. Now the definition of content, what does this mean? To be satisfied with the distribution determined by Allah Almighty is called contentness. So to be satisfied, meaning not having any extra feelings in the heart or desires in the heart or any wants that, you know, I wish I just had that extra thing as well. I wish I just had this as well. So that, if you have wish for this and wish for that, it's a sign that you don't feel satisfied. There's no satisfaction in whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has determined for you. So that is important, satisfaction of whatever Allah has determined. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Translation, if you are grateful, I will henceforth give you more. And if you are ungrateful, my punishment is henceforth severe. So we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Be from the ones who are the shakirin. We pray that may Allah make us from those who are thankful, those who pay gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be from amongst those that are thankful and not from amongst those that go astray or those that are disloyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those that don't thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should be completely fearful of the punishments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala an, he states that one day the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, that shall I not show you the reality of this world and what is in it? The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then took my hand and continued to lead me to a dump site. At that place, at that moment, there was a skull laying on the side. The mess of people, old and torn clothes were there as well. And there were also many pieces of bones. He then said to me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Abu Hurairah, this skull which you see, this is also someone's like you, who had many desires and many hopes, and today only the bones have remained. Allahu Akbar. And those bones will also soon crumble and become like sand as well. The mess that you see are all the mess of different types of food that people had ate and used to acquire with great efforts. But today, people stay away from it because of its foul smell. These torn and tattered clothes that you see, these used to be stylish clothes. But today, the wind throws them side to side. These bones are the bones of those animals which people used to ride and used for traveling around the world. But the reality of the world are that those who can weep about the world should weep. Thereafter, we also wept as well. And this is mentioned in Ihya al-Ulum. My dear viewers of Madani channel, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that very soon the despicable disease which plagued previous ummahs will soon arrive on my ummah as well. It will be pride, meaning self-conceit, greed for more wealth, and envy in worldly matters until they become a nation which is jealous of one another. In which they become a nation which is jealous of one another, possesses hatred for one another, enmity for one another, and finally they rebel against Allah Azza wa Jal. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that by Allah, I do not fear that you will become poor I fear that the world and its wealth does not become expensive to you as it became for others before you. You then become attached to it as previous people were attached to it as well. And it would destroy you as it destroyed others before you as well. And this hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. In Jami' al-Tirmidhi, a hadith of the Holy Prophet states that the Prophet ﷺ has declared that if with Allah Azza wa Jal the world was even equal to the wing of a mosquito, that if with Allah Azza wa Jal the world, this everything that we are living in, if this was equivalent to the wing of a mosquito, then He Azza wa Jal would never have given a disbeliever even one drop of it. Even one drop of water, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given that. If this world and everything which is in it was equivalent to even the wing of a mosquito to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this shows that in the court of Allah, this world is nothing. It's nothing. That's why He's let everyone have a share from it. The real world is the hereafter, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set those people who will have a share of the good of this next world and those people who will have a share of the evil. Sayyidina Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reported, if the son of Adam had a valley of date palms, he would wish for another like it. Then another and another, until he wished to have many valleys, and nothing will satisfy his belly but the dust of the grave. An eye-opener for the viewers of Madani Channel, for me and you, that nothing in this world will suffice us except for the grave. The mud of the grave is that will fill our stomachs. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, trying your best to be content with whatever Allah has given. Look at those who are less fortunate from amongst you. Look at those that don't have the luxuries that you have. Look at those that don't eat the foods that you eat. Look at those that don't wear the clothes that you wear. Look at those that don't travel in what transport you have. Look at those that are less fortunate. People that have to travel so many miles just for a glass of water. We just open the tap and the water comes out. We don't even second thought of anything that we need to go and travel to get water. But there's people in this world that have to travel so far just to get some water, and that as well, that water will be undrinkable. So be happy with what Allah has given you and be content with it. A hadith, there are two people who are never satisfied. The one who is hungry for knowledge can never get enough of it. And the one who is greedy for worldly possession can never get enough of it. So we should be from amongst that are greedy for knowledge, not greedy for the world. Greedy that we can attain the knowledge of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greed for the knowledge of Islam. We should be from amongst that category of people, and not from amongst the category that have greed for the worldly possessions. A hadith in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim mentions that a son of Adam becomes old, but two things in him become young. Number one, greed for wealth. And number two, greed for more life. So as we grow older, two things become younger. That is greed for wealth and greed for more life. In Jami' al-Tirmidhi, a hadith states that he has succeeded who accepts Islam and is provided with what is sufficient and is made content by Allah. That is the one who is successful, who is content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the best amongst the believers is the one who observes contentment. The best amongst the believers is the one who observes contentment. Another hadith in Bukhari states that richness is not an abundance of worldly goods. Rather, richness is contentment with one's lot. Subhanallah. So even if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed you with just one thing, still be content with that one thing. And feel rich that Allah has given me at least that one thing. Feel rich. It's all about the mind, my dear viewers of Madani Channel. If we feel content by mind, then inshallah, by heart we'll also feel content as well. We should be happy with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, and we should thank Allah that He has not made us less fortunate. So my dear viewers of Madani Channel, be content with what Allah has given you. And I pray to Allah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with so much wealth that it's enough that we can inshallah pay our zakat from it, give sadaqah from it, and be enough sufficient for ourselves and our family. And do not give us so much wealth that we become heedless of the world, that we become heedless of the hereafter and fall into the traps of the world. May Allah Azza wa Jalla have mercy upon us. Ameen. Bijahin Nabi Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Sallu Alal Habib. صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Allah help me understanding of Islam. Allah help me understanding of Islam.